Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presenting on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in. It's 9/11/2020 on a Friday afternoon, and yes, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all very much for tuning in to this edition, a 90-minute edition of a program taking place today on the anniversary of what took place here in this city, in the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and on a strip of land in Pennsylvania 19 years ago this morning. And right off the top of our program, we want to let all of you know that on this day, we remember everyone who perished, everyone who are family members that are still living, and every one of those first responders, police, fire, emergency, medical personnel who did their thing 19 years ago this morning, who perished and who are still alive, and family members are still alive. And to all of them we say, we honor you, we acknowledge you, and we miss you very much. And you are always in our soul and in this nation and this world's soul as well. 74 degrees at the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us on the program all about TV's current and future. We have a terrific lineup of people today. Coming up later in the program, we'll have the former executive producer of Access Hollywood, Rob Silverstein. He is now executive producing People, the TV show that premieres Monday on stations all over the country and on the People TV programming service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And have you heard about Pitch Week? Well, that week is fast approaching. As an opportunity for people to break into television, especially women and people of color. We'll meet two of the people at the organization behind it called Coverfly, Mitch Lustos and Tom Heber. And first up, we will have the executive producer and creator of the popular Cinemax series Warrior, the former executive producer and creator of Banshee on that same network, Jonathan Tropper. Season 2 begins next month. The Broadway Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, the important leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. And we want you to be involved in the program as well, so get interactive with your phone calls and chat and reaction. All you got to do is pick up the phone and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Our chat room, as always, is open, SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, while the program is on the air, you can bring others into the conversation simply by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, or speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Jonathan Tropper from Warrior joins me live from Toronto, Canada, after these news notes. Pro football started its 2020 season last night with fewer fans in the stands and apparently fewer viewers watching compared to the first game of 2019. Early Nielsen data notes there was a 60% decline of audience for NBC's kickoff presentation. No matter what, the game was a breakthrough for NBC-owned Spanish language channel Universo. For the first time ever, Universo will simulcast all NBC NFL contests year-round, including the entire Sunday Night Football schedule and three NFL playoff games. As of this morning, Amazon Music is a feature of LG Smart TV sets from 2016 on. The app gives viewers the ability to play both music from a catalog of 2 million songs and radio stations through their LG sets. One catch, you must be an Amazon Prime consumer to have and use this app. No word yet on other smart TV products among Amazon Music who will add that to their offering. Now some quickies before our first guest. Gordon Ramsay of Hell's Kitchen fame is developing a new game show for the BBC and maybe a U.S. channel. Title, Bank Balance. It has high stakes, high knowledge, and yes, high money at risk. Peacock will introduce a pair of sports talk series with daytime lineup Monday, Brother from Another and Pro Football Talk PM. Both will run live and 5 days a week. And Univision will present two Diablo USA Celebrando Juntos, that's USA celebrating together, specials this Sunday and next Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Toronto, Canada, our first guest. He broke into the TV scene 7 years ago with a program called Banshee. It ran 4 seasons on Cinemax, got critical acclaim throughout, and now he is back with his second season of Warrior, Berkeley Inspired Adventure Series with Shannon Lee and Justin Lin, among the other executive producers. Joining us from Toronto, Jonathan Schropper. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
How's it going getting Warrior Season 2 in shape?
Season 2 is already in shape. It's coming out in a month, so we haven't actually worked on it in probably about 6 or 7 months. It's been in the can just waiting for its air date.
For people, Jonathan, who have not tuned into the show yet and will hopefully starting on October 2nd, bring us up to speed on Warrior and the role Bruce Lee had in inspiring it.
So, yeah, Bruce Lee, over 50, I guess he passed away about 50 years ago. So over 50 years ago, he had this notion of a television show that he pitched to Warner Brothers that he would star in, about a Chinese martial arts prodigy who comes over to the West Coast and during the 1800s and through the lessons of Kung Fu kind of becomes involved with the people there and what's going on in America. Warner Brothers did not buy the show. I think at the time they felt that it was too risky to have an Asian actor in a lead role. And then a year later, they put out the show Kung Fu, starring David Carradine. So this is something that I think the Bruce Lee family has held on to for a long time and have wanted to see brought to fruition. And we got the opportunity to read the treatment Bruce Lee had written back then. And sort of, with TV the way it is today, we were able to come up with an approach that we felt really worked. And we built the show based on Bruce Lee's treatment.
And it's interesting that next year, Kung Fu is coming back from Warner Brothers with an Asian American production team, with an Asian American creator, with an Asian American in the lead, and it will be a female Kane as opposed to a male Kane. So it's quite interesting that that your show is sort of timed in a way to coincide with that show, hopefully coming to fruition in 2021.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of satisfaction in the Bruce Lee family that the same organization, Warner Brothers, that wouldn't put a show on the air 15 years ago is the organization that ultimately made Warrior today.
What feedback did you get from viewers to the first season that you and your production team have applied to the second?
I never really work that way. I mean, I love to get the feedback, but it's rare that a piece of feedback actually makes its way that quickly into our plans, especially since by the time season one aired, we were already shooting season two. So, we didn't really – it was sort of an odd thing to go into season two with season one not having aired yet because we had to make all of our plans in a total vacuum. We didn't have any idea how the show was going to be received. But at the same time, it's sort of a more pure process if you're not taking critiques from the world at large and just sort of staying true to the vision you had for the show to begin with.
And did the feedback suggest that people did buy the vision to a certain degree? Because I believe this the show takes place during the Tang Dynasty, which you may have heard about in shows like Kung Fu or other shows, but it's usually a passing reference. This is the first series that really deals with that era and what transpired.
Yeah, I mean, that was what really excited me about doing this show was it was the 1870s Chinatown, San Francisco, when the Tang Wars became sort of the big political issue happening then. The Chinese had been immigrating to America, since the 50s for the gold rush. And then you ended up with people settling in San Francisco and forming a Chinatown, and the gold rush was over, and the railroads were built, and then all of a sudden there was this huge, cheap labor source on the West Coast, and the robber barons began using them as cheap labor, which greatly upset the whole working class economy of San Francisco and beyond. And so you had organized crime, tremendous racism against the Chinese. You had all sorts of organized crime families starting to get formed within Chinatown. And additionally, you had the racism coming from outside of Chinatown. And then you also had the working men, the Irish Working Men's Party, who had been the laborers up until that point, who were being unseated by people who were willing to work at a wage that was unlivable. So it was just this great political pressure cooker to set a martial arts adventure in.
Warrior begins its second season on Cinemax Friday, October 2nd, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and we've got the creator and executive producer with us, Jonathan Tropper. If you know the name, that's because he did way back when a little show called Banshee, which was a great crime saga on Cinemax that ran four seasons and got lots of critical acclaim. And this is, I believe, his first television series since then in his role as creator and executive producer. Jonathan joins us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Again, thank you for joining us on this 9/11/2020. And if you have a question or comment for Jonathan, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 290 editions of our show coming your way next week. Monday, we'll introduce you to not one, but two smart TV programming services that you might not know about and you might want to try. One is called Happy Kids, and your kids may know that it's one of the most popular smart TV services designed for them. It's from a company called Future Day. We'll speak with the co-founder, Vic Rekmasur. Then there's a new network that gives you yoga and meditation and other things like that. It's called Sanctuary. We'll have the chief executive officer of that programming service, Robert Martin. And finally, we will talk about a new series coming up next week on Crackle. It's called Spies, S-P-I-D-E-S. It's a very unusual kind of drama, and it's from a company called Paladin Media. We'll speak with its chief executive officer. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Don't miss it right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How did you expand Warrior for the second season with all that historical aspects that you can balance in the course of a season?
I mean, to me, I think second seasons are actually the most fun to do in any television show, because first season is spent really building the world, setting the table, really laying out the stakes, getting to know the characters. You don't have to do any of that heavy lifting in season two. So for season two, you've already got your characters, you've already got your world established, you've already set up the parameters, so you really get to go deeper and explore the characters, put them in new situations, really mind the drama of the whole experience. So season one, we spent a lot of time sort of building the pressure cooker between the San Francisco cops and the San Francisco politicians and the Irish laborers and the Chinese laborers and the Chinese gang. And so in season two, we got to actually push the button and let it explode, and we got to watch all of the fallout from season one. So it's a much more complex season, but it's also much more explosive.
Talk about working with your main character. How has it been, you know, having him as the star and also developing his character from one season to the other?
I mean, Andrew Koji is just like a revelation, and I think he's only going to go on to much bigger things now. But he came in. He had not done martial arts since he was about 12 or 13 years old. He was a reasonably athletic guy. He had certainly never been at the center of a show like this. He'd never been number one on a call. He'd never been the star of a show. And from the time we cast him, which was a big risk on our part, until we all showed up in South Africa to shoot the show, he just threw himself into it in a way I've actually never witnessed firsthand. But he showed up a completely different physical shape. He had trained in martial arts pretty much nonstop from when he got the job. He continued to train the entire time he was on set with us. And he just turned himself into this really dangerous martial arts prodigy, and he sells it beautifully. And on top of that, he brings a really nice kind of smoldering leading man quality to it. And we just took great pleasure in that, because we cast somebody no one had ever really heard of, who had never really done this level of television. And, you know, he had done recurring roles. He had done smaller roles on TV, but we basically built the show around him, and he just rose to the occasion and became this really interesting and complicated lead.
What's it been like all along to work with the kind of people like a Shannon Lee and a Justin Lin, you know, both of whom have a vision that they share with you, and also they are two people who are so committed to having more Asian Americans represented on all sides of the camera?
Yeah, I mean, to me, they were both the thing that elevated the project for me, and also the great safety net, because they were not going to let me go wrong. You know, I'm not Asian American, and, you know, they brought me into this project because they felt I had the right sensibility to write it, but I had to really go to school a little bit and learn from both of them what the priorities of this project were, what the agendas were, what sort of representation they were insisting on. And with Shannon and Justin guiding it, I felt very safe sort of making the creative choices, knowing they were my backstop to make sure that what I was doing was falling in line with what they as filmmakers, as Asian Americans, as people, you know, much more closely connected to all the heritage of this project, you know, that I was following their lead and that I was doing things, you know, the way they wanted them done. So it was both a great education for me, and at the same time, it was a really good safety net as well.
Yeah. Was there a historical development that you wanted to do in season one, for whatever the reason, couldn't do it, but you were able to do it with season two?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, you know, we based this in 1878 because it's a few years before a very famous piece of legislation called the Exclusion Act, which was the only time in American history that a law was actually written into the books that prohibited the immigration of a particular nationality, which was done to the Chinese in 1882, I believe. So we based it all around the tension leading up to that legislation. But at the same time, what I really wanted to capture, which we had to wait till season two, was the tension spilling over into Chinatown riots. I thought it was really important that we show that, you know, while we see this in other countries, that America is not a country that's immune to this level of tension and hate. And, you know, interestingly enough, our own world has started to mimic that a little too closely. But we didn't really have the logistics or the wherewithal to pull off that riot in season one, but I think we do it quite well in season two.
Mm-hmm. By the way, John, how do you think you have grown with this series to get very deep in with Justin and Joanna's help to get adjusted to this culture, to really steep yourself in this side of history, this side of culture that you didn't know about before?
Well, that part was really exciting to me because I never really did a project in book, film, or TV where I had to really immerse myself in a piece of history and in another culture. So for me, it was both daunting and very exciting to kind of, you know, become a researcher for a while and really study up on a piece of history I knew nothing about. And honestly, most Americans know nothing about because it doesn't really get a lot of space in our history books. So that part was really exciting to me, and it was humbling, and it was also it just showed me how much I don't know about my own country, and certainly how much I don't know about, you know, the experience of many of the immigrant populations, because the immigration of my particular people happened so many generations before I was born. And so, you know, I think the research was one thing, but much more than the research was working day in and day out with this large Asian American cast and the Asian American crew we had, and hearing from them firsthand how all of this stuff is still really alive in their lives, and how the racism and the lack of representation and the stereotyping really dogs them in their careers and in their personal lives. And I think just becoming close to this group of people and understanding the experience firsthand is kind of, you know, it opens your eyes in a way that they can't be shut again.
We're speaking with Jonathan Tropper. He is the creative executive producer of Warrior, now in its about to go into its second season on Cinemax. Got a lot of critical acclaim when it came out last year. Second season comes on October 2nd, Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And Jonathan joins us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Retail Live, coming your way live on 9/11/2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 74 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment or many minutes with Jonathan. Don't be shy. Get interactive and get involved. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A big week for People Want to Break Into Television is coming up in 2 weeks here in New York. It's called IFP Week, Internet Filmmaker Project. And we will have a preview of that week and how TV people will be involved with it with its deputy director, Kia Brooks, and Gabrielle Cipollino, its senior episodic TV manager. And we hope to have, by the way, down the road, some of the TV pilot makers involved with IFP Week and maybe some of the special people in the TV industry that will be on panels throughout that week. That's coming up in 2 weeks here in New York virtually for the very first time. And then we're going to get into an organization called One World Digital. And what they're up to is a smart TV plumbing service for all you motorcycle buffs out there. It's called Chopper Town. We'll speak with the person who made it happen, Zach Kaufman. And finally, we will explore one of the most interesting sports phenomena of this year, cornball, or I should say cornhole. Have you seen it on ESPN? You know, that wonderful sport where people from all walks of life throw bags into a hole? Well, it has turned out to become one of the big surprise stories of sports television this year. We actually showcased it on one of our episodes last summer, and next Friday, we will have, I'm happy to say, the co-founder and the commissioner of the league, Stacey Moore. That's all coming up, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, next Friday right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jonathan, because you've been a novelist and an author, as well as a TV and filmmaker, I'm wondering, because we now have a lot of authors who have gotten into television over the last decade or two, do you think like a novelist when you produce direct create television? Do you think, oh, I'm going to do this show as a novel, as a lot of people, filmmakers do now, or do you have a different kind of vibe toward doing television?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're different muscles in terms of, you know, writing visually versus writing to be read. But I think what happened for me was, I think the first time I had the epiphany was when 6 Feet Under came on HBO. And, you know, watching a season that show to me really felt like reading a novel. And I think, you know, with the advent of first, you know, the HBO cable television series and then the streamers, the notion of being able to tell long-form television stories as opposed to episodic or procedural television stories suddenly made me feel like TV is a novelist medium, because you can take the time to do real character development and you can take the time to tell a much more complicated and longer story, because they're going to give you 10 hours to tell it as opposed to an hour a week and then you have to reset the clock. So I think for me as a novelist who likes to sort of build story out of character, having 8 to 10 episodes to do that is very similar in the pace. Whereas, you know, when I was a kid growing up, TV was largely 1 hour procedurals or half hour sitcoms, and that form of the medium didn't really exist. So I never really related it to the kind of storytelling we do in novels. I hope that made sense.
Yeah. We had somebody give us a call who just popped off the line. If you're hearing us and you still want to make a call and have a question for Jonathan or comment, put your chat room with us in the chat room, or make the call again. We'll try to get you before the next few minutes are up. Are you thinking about a Warrior season 3 right now?
Right now, unfortunately, we're not planning a season 3, and that has to do with corporate structure. Cinemax, our home, after AT&T bought Time Warner and HBO, the decision was made that Cinemax is no longer going to make original programming. So that kind of shut us down, and the second season is going to come out, but right now there's no plan to go back for a third unless one of the other HBO entities decides to pick up the tab and try to pull everybody back together. But I think because the acquisition took a little longer than they thought, you know, actors have gone on to other things, it might be a little harder than it used to be to pull the family back together.
Well, John, one thing we've learned is that you never say never, especially when there's
exactly.
A HBO Max now that's popping up.
Exactly.
But I understand that you do have a new role to play, and that you're going to be working, correct me if I'm wrong, as the executive producer on C, the Apple TV project.
Yeah, I'm in Toronto right now. We started shooting. I've taken over as showrunner for season 2 of C. And we started shooting that in Toronto before the pandemic. We got shut down about 11 days into our second episode, and now I am back here, and our plan is to be shooting by October and to shoot the entire season. And with all the COVID protocols in place, I'm hopeful. It's a gigantic show, so I'm hopeful we're going to be able to do that with all the COVID protocols.
When it came out last fall, it was lauded because it dealt with a society of people who are blind. And there are a lot of people in the disabled community who have been watching this to see, are we going to see blind people? Are we going to see people who are blind or visually impaired involved in key roles, both in front of and behind the camera? So now you're the showrunner for that. What is it looking like for season 2?
Yeah, I mean, I can't take credit for it, but I've inherited a production that is very committed to that. And I think it's a huge priority for Apple as well, because they pride themselves on accessibility. And so, you know, there's a person, there's a producer on staff who is a visually impaired individual and whose job it is to make sure that, you know, on all levels that we're making sure that we're looking for visually impaired people. So whether it's actors, whether it's crew members, whether it's composers for score, he keeps us on our toes and makes sure that we're always looking for visually impaired people to play a part in the production. And so I think we're, you know, I would say we can always do better, but we're certainly it's a big priority for the show, and we work really hard at it.
Well, in the meantime, as C gets ready to start production on season two, there is season two of Warrior, and you can catch it on Cinemax starting Friday, October 2nd, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local Eastern Voice Cinemax available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.cinemax.com. That's www.cinemax.com. Warrior, inspired by Bruce Lee, Friday, October 2nd, season 2 begins, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Jonathan Chopper, the creator and executive producer, congratulations on getting to season 2. Best of luck with you and your production team and crew and cast for making it happen starting next month. And we would love to have you and that producer back when C is ready to go on for season 2 on Apple TV Plus. We would love to have you and him back.
Sure, happy to do it.
You got it, Jonathan. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Jonathan Chopper, creative executive producer of Warrior, joining us live from Toronto, Canada, where he is getting ready to produce the second season of C on Apple TV Plus. Our classic trivia question of the week will come your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a terrific novel just to kick up your heels and relax and just let your ears do the thinking, well, how about this one, Hideaway by Nora Roberts? It could be one of the selections you can pick if you become a one-month trial user of Audible.com. And I'll tell you something, Audible.com, any time of the year, certainly this weekend, makes a great gift for you or someone you love. And here's why. Because it is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles you can choose from at any time, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer, guess what? Not one book you can hear, but two you can choose. And if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, in addition to that one or two free audiobooks, you also get health and wellness material, the one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And by the way, that book you can pick from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from original audio work to the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today or this weekend the opportunity to hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know can hear the world. Like I said, it makes a great gift any time of the year. So for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We've been offering it for the last week and a half. And here it is once again. Name the 2010 Fox television drama series co-starring the late Chadwick Boseman. Name the 2010 Fox television drama series that happened 10 years ago this very summer, co-starring the late star of Black Panther and Get On Up and other great movies. We played famous people of our time and old time, Chadwick Boseman. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win 3 episodes of Fish Tank Kings, the popular series on Nat Geo Wild, and the great book, Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner, and Smarter CEO by Patrice Tanaka. And these two prizes can be yours if you got the correct answer. All you have to do is get it down by email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a correct answer by the end of day, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, in order to win, please play in, and all the very best. Well, welcome Mobilo into our chat room. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, put it in the room and give us that call, 646-652-2906. Coming up at the top of the hour, former Access Hollywood executive producer Rob Silverstein. He'll talk about his new role as executive producer of People, the TV show that premieres Monday, 7 p.m. on the People TV streaming service, and sometime Monday on stations around the country owned by Meredith and elsewhere. But first, have you heard about Pitch Week? If you want to make it a television, you might want to. We have two people who are responsible for it, and you'll hear them from the same organization that makes this week happen, Coverfly. We'll talk to Mitch Lusas and Tom Deaver, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and you're also being heard on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. BTR, Spreaker, and TuneIn reach more than 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the ongoing coronavirus news channel. Check it out. Reports from all over the globe, plus a podcast, other original material, keeping you up to date on the state of the pandemic. That's the coronavirus news channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more Talk to Live, special 90-minute edition coming your way on 9/11/2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, York. Good to have you with us. 74 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have questions or comments for our next guest, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Again, I want to welcome Molo into the room. So use that room, use that phone, and let's hear from you one way or the other. Throughout the year, I should say, there are all sorts of special weeks. There is everything from Social Media Week, there's Advertising Week, there's Diversity Week, that's just in the entertainment field. Well, I didn't know until a couple weeks ago there's actually a Pitch Week, where people who want to break into television as series creators can get involved. Well, that week is fast approaching, and it's taking place from an organization called Coverfly. And they have a website that if you're not into Pitch Week, guess what? There are lots of other ways to break into television, and they'll tell you all about them. And right now, they're going to tell all about Pitch Week and what they've got on their website, coverfly.com. Joining us live are two key officials from Coverfly. That's Mitch Lusas and Tom Deaver. Mitch and Tom, welcome aboard.
Hi, Salman. Welcome. Thanks so much for having us.
You're very, very welcome. And Mitch, where are you calling from? What city?
We're right now from Palm Springs, but typically we're in Los Angeles.
I am in Highland Park, Los Angeles.
All right. Well, great to have you both from California, IEA, and hope all is going well. By the way, we are all thinking of you on this part of the woods because I know that California is dealing with all those wildfires, and we've seen those orange skies the last couple of nights out of San Francisco and L.A., and our thoughts and prayers are with everybody in California dealing with those wildfires, and we give our thoughts to all those first responders and firefighters who are doing their thing as we speak. Mitch, get into thinking about Pitch Week. This is a really big deal for people who want to break into television.
Yeah, this the Pitch Week was actually something that we started a couple of years ago because we saw that there was a need for more personalized connection between the emerging market of writers and the industry. And, this week, this month, actually, we have Pitch Week. It's going to be at the end of this month. And we're really excited about this because we've expanded even more to some bigger companies, agents and managers who are taking part.
We think we're a little ahead of the curve because we've been doing this the past couple of years and been doing these sort of virtual pitches with writers directly with execs and managers, and then obviously given the limitations of COVID and quarantine, that's kind of become the industry standard. So what we've actually doubled in size from our previous Pitch Week iterations and have some really big companies, studios, and agencies participating.
And one of the things that makes it a little different.
Yeah, let me just want to say for everybody that you should know that you are the director of product, I understand, at Coverfly, and Tom is the head of writer success. I remember you got the title then. Okay, go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the things that actually differentiates Pitch Week a lot is that, one of the things we do at Coverfly is we aggregate all of the different placements from lists, competitions, and fellowships across the world. So we're tracking all of these top emerging writers. And then Tom leads a team that goes through thousands of scripts a month, and they're curating and personalizing these lists for these industry professionals. So when they're looking at people to meet at Pitch Week, it's not just a randomized list. It's people that we think are going to make really good connections. And that's how we're different than many other Pitch Weeks out there, on top of the fact that it's digital. So we're virtual. It's 12-minute virtual pitches, which works right in line with COVID times.
And it's completely free. Completely free for the writers, mm-hmm. which is definitely different from, I think, other pitch weeks. And it's not a matter of, you know, paying to hear to give a pitch to somebody. You're actually being selected by these agents and these executives because we've carefully curated that list from we had over 2,500 submissions this time and really narrowing it down to kind of that top 10% that agents, managers, and execs are actually selecting and wanting to hear these pitches from these writers and these projects.
And, Tom, when you look at this website, what is truly amazing, and it may be shocking for some people, is that you list about 130-plus individual competitions, scriptwriting competitions, episodic web, so on and so forth, and a lot of them are television. And these are not, I want to really make this point, these are not like fly-by-nights, these are not like scams. These are real competitions, and many of them I had not heard of. Because we've covered episodic lab, we've covered competitions, we've covered things like the Blacklist and other organizations like Write Back and others that are trying, and Imagine Impact, they're trying to establish more content among people of color, among women, TV series creators overall. How do you find out about all these competitions? And how do you, in your role, encourage writers to take part in them?
Well, I think there's a differentiation there. And, Mitch, you would probably be better suited to speak about the competitions themselves. But I think what I'll say is that I think what we've just really seen over the past several years is that there are super talented writers everywhere, not just across the United States, but across the entire world. And they're all looking for that way into the industry, whether that's through the sort of personal connections, the festivals, or the competitions. Anything that can sort of source and identify talent is going to be valuable to these reps and execs.
Yeah, and on the competition route, you know, when we're looking at these competitions, we have very high standards on which competitions and fellowships can join, and we really look to see how are they bettering a writer's craft in their career, what are the actual steps they're taking, because we want to make sure we see ourselves being good stewards of writers' resources, their limited resources of time and finances, and so we want to direct them to those places that are really going to help them move forward. And then by doing that, you mentioned, you know, diverse types of writers that are coming in. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we've been really excited about. When we look at the writers we've helped to sign, just over the past couple months, over 76% have been writers who self-identify as diverse. So, you know, that's because we're tying into these great fellowships. And that's also because we're meeting with them. We're seeing what the needs are in the industry. And we're trying to bring those writers and those industry professionals together.
And, you know, to Mitch's point, too, that's really what's validating and, frankly, justifying these types of programs, right? If you can meaningfully help a writer, you know, from that pipeline, start their career, you know, whether that's in the form of actually getting staffed or paid work or signing with a rep that facilitates that, that's the reason you're submitting to these things, right? And it's really just great. I just love that my team gets to be so hands-on involved in that.
And there's one other interesting thing. Is that, you know, sorry, we get a little excited about that. It is true. We actually celebrate all the writers as a team. And one of the previous pitch week people that participated, one of the writers, was actually not even in Los Angeles. And that's one of the great things, too, you know, because it's not just about writers who have the right means, know the right people, are in the right cities. We're really trying to help writers from across the world to get connected and share their stories. And Pitch Week's a great way to do that.
That's what we're talking about this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised Pitch Week, which is taking place this month from an organization called Coverfly, which has a website, coverfly.com. And when you see it, it also will showcase a lot of other competitions. So for anyone listening who wants to break into television, there's a lot more opportunity than bargained for, and you can find a lot of it and how to get involved through this organization, Coverfly. And we are speaking with two of the key people at that organization involved with Pitch Week, Mitch Lusak, who's director of product, and Tom Deaver, the head of writer success. They're both with us live from various parts of California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank you for tuning us in on 9/11/2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weather, York, 74 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the chat room at SimonApple04 by name, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And coming up before the top of the hour, we'll have our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week. Believe it or not, two incidents that happened within 24 hours of each other may have been a big step toward expanding diversity on television. Explain, coming later this half hour. Mitch, the fact that you have so many of these competitions listed on your site, what does that say about, A, the demand for content, and, B, the amount of places now in this era of plentiful TV that you can put that content on?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting because we've seen a marked excitement and increase in submissions specifically for TV across all of our competitions that are looking for TV writers. It's gone up almost two times, which is amazing. And I think there's a big love affair right now with TV. The industry is looking for these TV writers. And so you're seeing a lot of opportunities to find them. And so, again, what we're looking for is only those top competitions that are going to meaningfully move forward those writers' careers. And we've got them on Coverfly. And then also we're looking for those top TV writers. And we've pulled a lot of those from that 2,500, those top writers that have come in to Pitch Week to drive and connect them with industry professionals. And I think this year, Tom, with the logos, the companies that we have coming into Pitch Week, what are some of the ones that are actually involved with TV?
Yeah, I mean, it's more than I could really rattle off, but we have, you know, CAA, we have Sony, we have Netflix, we have, I mean, like I said, more than I can kind of keep track of, you know, management companies like Echo Lake Industry, Lit Entertainment, we have an exec from MGM, and really like even independent Emmy-nominated producers that will be hearing pitches, as well as one of the co-creators of Two and a Half Men will be hearing pitches. So really kind of, I honestly, it's like I more than I can keep track of, but it's not, it's definitely legitimate, meaningful industry members that are actively seeking writers and projects right now. So it's really tremendous opportunity for people looking to get into this.
Yeah. So how does Pitch Week work from here? Do people still have time to send in a series pitch? And whether it's yes or no, what happens between now and the end of the month when you announce the winners?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So it's not really – I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a winner, and that's what's kind of great about it is that these are going to be real pitches. And, you know, Pitch Week will be running the week of the 21st, and they'll all be done virtually. Like, you know, as Mitch mentioned, it's great that basically anyone in the world with a computer and internet connection can be doing this. And we currently – man, it's just going to be a blitz. We've got 33 people. You're all hearing eight pitches. So that's, you know, math I can't even do of that many pitches happening in a five-day span. And, like, you know, some of them with execs, some of them with managers. And we, you know, in the past when this was half the size, we usually walked away with, you know, a handful of writers that have signed with reps or have optioned their screenplay. So we've got definitely high hopes heading into this.
Yeah, and I would say anyone who missed the application period, because the application period has closed for right now, but if you've missed it, we are going to be reopening those applications for the next Pitch Week, which is going to take place in the beginning of next year. So there's still time to start getting that together, and then by the end of this month, that application period will be open again.
Yeah. Mitch, talk more about some of the people who will be getting these pitches and exploring them. You mentioned Netflix, for example. What about the mega plumbing services like Apple TV Plus, BET Plus, HBO Max, Peacock, Disney Plus, et cetera? And also, we've started to see, because some of the talent agents like CAA have laid off talent, we're seeing some of that talent now form companies. We did a news article a week or two ago about Range Media Partners, which is put together by Nina Sally, the former head of Entertainment One, which is out to do encourage clients to form their own television production companies, other entertainment firms, and so forth. Another agent is working with Macro, Charles King, that had that venture to do a management with a number tax to try to encourage more product among people of color. Are you trying to get some of those people who have left talent agencies and forming their own firms or forming new combinations?
We've definitely seen that. And I, sorry to jump in, Mitch, I really think one of the things that we have understood so much about this is how important that relationship with your rep is. It's just, it is such a vital relationship to any writer in their career. And it's great that we get to play matchmaker in that case, because it's not, it can be this kind of nebulous thing, and so much of it is there's so many determining factors of what is a good fit between a writer and a rep, from their material as well as their personality. So even if we're not able to pass the material directly to the content makers and studios, we are able to create those opportunities by pairing a writer with a rep who can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's actually something that's really interesting is, with Coverfly, yes, we're pulling in all of this data from all over the emerging writer market, all the fellowships, lists, and competitions, and that's how we're able to bubble up top talent. But we go the extra mile with Tom's team in meeting with these writers and having what we call pre-general meetings to basically find out where are their soft skills, how much do they know about the industry, what are their current connections, so we can better figure out a great pairing. And you brought up a lot of great, you know, video on demand services. And one of the things that we've got pitch week where we have an opportunity to pitch to some of those. But we also have industry users are coming in, and we just recently had one of the major ones that went through the list of writers and just started requesting a lot of different scripts to see. And that's because, again, they realize they don't have to go everywhere to go and find this data. They just need to come to one place, Coverfly, and then they can find all the writers are interested in.
And
filter,
I think
search,
that was
and
one
get those.
Thing we really found, Mitch, because we've done so many meetings and focus groups with industry members, like I said, of all different backgrounds. And we've seen that, you know, they're going to these talent pools. They're going to the same talent pools, but they're currently being forced to go to 20 different places to try and find it. And it's great that Coverfly has been able to collect them all into one place that is so, you know, easy to search and filter and find what you're looking for.
We're talking about Coverfly and the interesting work it's doing to try to bring more people into television, including women and people of color, with brand new script series, unscripted series, et cetera, et cetera. And Pitch Week is the current project that they are involved with. We are speaking with the director of product at Coverfly, Ms. Lucas, and Tom Deaver, the head of writer success. They're both with us live from parts of California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Applebaum with you live from New York. Again, we're coming your way live on 9/11/2020, this Friday afternoon, 19 years after one of the most horrendous events in the history of this world took place 19 years ago this morning. And we're delighted to have you with us in part to mark the situation. If a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Mitch and Tom, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Mitch, what are some of the major success stories that Coverfly has had with your work so far?
Yeah, so we've actually had some a lot of great success stories. We have a variety of different programs, and you'd mentioned how Coverfly is helping writers from all walks of life. And one of the things that we always try to do at Coverfly is make sure that there's always a free option, because we want writers to know that they don't have to be hindered by that. And by doing that, we have programs that have highlighted writers, like we mentioned, one from Chicago that was able to, through Pitch Week, get connected with their manager. We had another who, Tom, I don't know if you want to actually talk a little bit about Jay.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many that I could speak of that it's tough to pick just one, but I think one really exciting recently was a writer named Jay Jameson, who had, you know, was trying to break into the industry, submitting to competitions, getting exposure, had actually gotten himself some really great, you know, paid TV opportunities, but just for whatever reason was not catching the interest from the reps. And once we sort of worked with him and featured him on the, you know, on our platform, it was just a blitz. He was getting an offer for representation from major companies basically every couple of hours. And he's since signed with Kaplan Perrone, and he's currently staffed on a CW show about to get his first episode credit. Yeah, and I mean, there's a Sorry, go ahead.
I think one of the things that we're looking at and what we're seeing is there's a lot of activity right now. We were thinking that things might start dying down because of COVID. And what we've actually seen is a big pickup from this. And because it's a lot easier for agents and managers to meet writers. And it's interesting because Tom was mentioning how when we featured these writers, within 24 hours, many of these writers are already getting signed. There is just a kind of this frenzy of trying to pick out these great writers, especially if they know that they've been curated, they've been met with, we've been able to validate and verify that, yes, they're ready to take that next step on their career. And that seems to be building that trust that's getting a lot of excitement and helping a lot of these writers get connected, no matter where they are in the world.
Yeah. By the way, what is the CW show that Jay is getting the credit for?
Superman and Lois.
Which is one of the new shows that they'll be coming out with in 2021. New series from Warner Brothers, I believe.
Yep.
For both of you, in the last couple of years, and in the 13 years that we have been on the air, we have seen the rise of television festivals, whether it was the New York Television Festival here, Series Fest, which just did their virtual thing in Denver a few months ago, ATX in Austin, Texas, ATV in Atlanta, Georgia, also around the country. We're also seeing film festivals like Sundance with the Episodic Lab and other outreach projects, Tribeca Film Festival, which is on TV, and so forth, and other film festivals looking at it. There's been a little bit of, obviously, the pandemic has really impacted the way TV festivals and film festivals go. But I'm wondering, at some point, do you see Cover 5 working with TV festivals and film festivals in some manner?
You know, the way that we look at it is we are about writer talent discovery. And so wherever that goes, we want to be part of that. We want to be able to help them, help those writers that are coming up to get connected. So if there's an opportunity for that, absolutely. And when we look at a lot of these festivals and these competitions, we see them as partners, even if they're not directly on our platform yet, because we're looking at who places, we're looking at who wins, and then we're aggregating all of that into one place. So so if we're not directly tied to them yet, there's always that possibility in the future.
Yeah, anywhere that there's talented writers, we're interested in, because I think that, you know, we've really seen they can kind of come from anywhere, and it's just great to sort of facilitate those opportunities for them.
Beyond Pitch Week, what other TV opportunities do you see for creators that you want to work with?
Well, we've got several. One is just by, again, going through, if you are looking for a good competition that's going to be judging you based on your TV, you can go on to Coverfly. You can enter in the filter to say TV format, and then we'll go ahead and share the best competitions to enter in for TV format. So that's step number one. Step number two is making sure that your work is good. There's some great coverage providers and partners that we work with there. And ultimately, it is about getting your work out there. And the more that you can get your work out there, the better a chance that it can be seen. And we offer, you know, Tom's team is going through thousands of scripts a month that are coming through the Coverfly platform, looking for those top writers. And we know that the industry is focused a lot more on TV right now. And so that's also where we're putting more of our focus as well. So again, coming into Coverfly, entering into those competitions that are geared towards TV, adding in your projects, filling out your profile, the more that you can be showcasing, again, your industry experience or your goals, and having your projects public so people can, the industry
can
read them better.
I'm glad you said that, Mitch. I just having a public profile on Coverfly is such a value add, without even, which is free to do, you know, to just have your project and your info and your background, because we do have, we have industry members that are logging into the site every day looking for material, and, you know, they can't find you if it's not up there. So
that's true. Yeah.
By the way, we should point out that coming up next week on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the people from IFP Week, the Independent Filmmaker Project, which is certainly another avenue that maybe at some point Coverfly can be involved with. Final thought. What about
Do. We actually, one of the winners of our recent fellowship will be participating in IFP, so we're pulling for her, a writer that won a competition. So we're already intertwined.
Great. Keep us posted about that. And if she does well, sure, we'll be very happy to have her on our an upcoming episode of our program. And finally, what about working with organizations that do crowdfunding like Kickstarter and Season Spark, which more and more are working with television projects?
And in what capacity are you thinking? Like in partnering with them, or?
Well, in terms of because in their case they are they're trying to not only help projects on the air but also get financed.
Sure. So I mean, I know Emily Best, who runs Season Spark, and I think that she's just brilliant, and I really love what she's doing. I think that there is an inherent sort of, you know, and Mitch, feel free to jump in. You know, we're not looking to monetize off of production so much, and that's not saying that those other organizations are. We're really sort of seeing ourselves as facilitators, which is great. I think it helps that we're not, you know, we're not looking for producing credits or back-end points or anything like that. I think that's maybe slightly outside of the purview of what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it comes down to us being, we connect. You know, we help to discover and connect between the industry and the writers and help them move forward in their career in that way.
Again, the project is called Coverfly, and this particular project that Sorenchi now is doing is Pitch Week, which will be continuing through the end of September. If you want more details about Pitch Week, if you want more details about the various other TV scriptwriting projects that you can find on Coverfly, here's where you go, www.coverfly.com. www.coverfly.com. I've checked out the site, and if you want to break into television, definitely use this as a way. There's a lot of great resources you can use on this site, and we will stay in touch on some of them. And Mitch and Tom, if any interesting deals come out of the Pitch Week 2020, we'd love to have those people on our program, along with the participating people who check the pitch out.
Perfect. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, thank you so much.
Mitch Lucas, Tom Deaver, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Keep in touch, and all the very best with you and all the efforts at Coverfly. It's been a terrific pleasure having you on. And, of course, have a sensational weekend.
You as well. Thank you so much.
You too.
You're welcome. Take care. Mitch Lucas, Tom Deaver, both joining us live from California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Once again, the website to go to is www.coverfly.com. And now it's time for our takeaway of the week, our regular Friday feature where we highlight something that happened this week that you should take away from it that will impact the future of television. Yesterday, Roland Martin, the popular TV and radio commentator, marked the second anniversary of his Unfiltered program that he did digitally. Remember, he did News One Now for many years, simulcast on Radio One and on TV One, and he was on this program a couple of times over the course of our 13 years plus on the air. And I was on the line with him, and I asked him what he thought about the state of TV diversity. And I mentioned that we've had so many advancements this year on all different levels. More people of color launching production companies, more individual producers getting green lights to do shows, more first-timers of color, like, for example, Katori Hall on P-Valley on Stars, getting in to the game. And Roland gave me an interesting answer. We want more. Great. We want more. We want more. We want more. Why? Because we want to be equal on that day, not too far off in the future, where the majority of people in this country will be people of color, and that every industry, TV included, has to reflect that. Well, within 24 hours of each other, two big moves happened to bring us a little closer to that, because two people in television got the green light to green light more projects by people of color. One is Bela Bajaria at Netflix. The person who's been doing a lot of international production for that organization was named the VP, the head of global TV at Netflix, and should be doing that starting at the end of the month. And then 24 hours later at NBC Universal, Paulina Igokwe, who of course did a lot of work on Showtime, has done a lot of work at NBC, has had Universal Television the last couple of years, now she has a new role, and that is being the main content player for NBC Universal's group of television projects: Universal Television, Universal Content, Formerly Cable Productions, and more. She is now, like Vela, in position to greenlight more and more projects by people of color. And that is a pretty big takeaway. Oh, and I'm sure you've also heard by now that Cindy Holland, one of the key figures in making Netflix what it is, will be leaving. One of the key people who work with Ted Sarandos, the chief content officer, now co-CEO. And two things about Cindy, quickly. One, big acknowledgement for everything she accomplished over her time at Netflix. And secondly, don't weep for her. To use that famous phrase from Evita, don't cry for her, Argentina. Why? Because I'm sure in the last 48 hours, her phone, her email has been off the hook, off the computer, and I promise you that sooner rather than later, she will make a programmer very, very happy she has come on board. When we come back, the former executive producer of Access Hollywood, Bob Associates, will join us. He's got a brand new gig now, People, the TV show, starts Monday on TV stations and on the People TV Smart TV Programming Network. He will join me here in New York after we call us at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.spreaker.com, tuneinradio.com. Together, reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month. Don't forget, Blog Talk Radio is your home for the very popular Key and the Unplugged show. It's music, it's entertainment, it's comedy, and a whole lot more. The Key and the Unplugged show, Monday nights, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of our 2020 9/11 edition of Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you from New York, where it is 75 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. We have another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to interact with him and us. Just give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers can anywhere catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is still open. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can bring others into the conversation by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon in Blog Talk, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. My final guest today was for many years the executive producer of the popular Prime Access series Access Hollywood that ran on many NBC stations in his tenure. Now he is back, and his new gig is a new entertainment news program that will premiere Monday on TV stations owned by Meredith around the country in places from Atlanta to Phoenix and St. Louis. It will also be running in other stations around the country, including Hartford, New Haven, not far from New Haven, New York. And it will also be running nationwide on People TV, the smart TV and smart device programming service. Joining me here in New York, Rob Silverstein. Rob, congratulations and welcome to our program.
Well, it's a strong introduction. There's no question about that. The show is also can be streamed on people.com 24 hours a day, right on the homepage. 80 million people a month visit that website. So that is a huge, huge platform for the show. We're going to be taking this show nationally within 6 weeks of launch because it's going to be such a big show. And we are going to dominate the competition. That's all I can say.
Rob, what's it been like for you to get back into the entertainment news production business? And what will you do with People that you didn't do with Access?
Well, I'll answer the second part of that first. People is not a full – if you read the magazine, it's not all pop culture entertainment. There's inspiring stories. There's true crime. There are ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So it'll be about 60-65% pop culture, and the rest will be those types of stories, human interest stories, that I think will be the big separator between what we do and what everyone else does. So I think that's part of it. One of the reasons I got back into this game, I say it getting back on the treadmill, because when you do these shows, it's like you're on an endless treadmill because you have a show every single day. The beast needs to be fed. There's always news. And I did it for 23 years as executive producer of Access Hollywood, and that show basically ended in March of 2019. It's a different kind of show now. So hence, we don't internally, there's 17 Access Hollywood people have joined me at this show. We have an incredible staff. So one of the reasons I got back into it, two of the reasons are that, number one, it's People magazine. So immediately people know what they're getting. It's not some brand that they barely know. like Daily Mail, TV, when that started, that's kind of fading away now. This is people, the most trusted, the most relevant, the most real brand there is. And I said to myself, okay, if I'm going to get back into this world of the insanity, that's how I want to do it. And then number two was, will I be able to bring my experienced team with me? And, of course, they said yes. So those are the two things. I am actually bi-coastal now. I've lived in L.A. for 26 years, but I did grow up in New York. And it is a big lifestyle change. I have four kids. Thankfully, they're in their 20s. And my wife will be coming back and forth. So it is a lifestyle change. But I am so pumped to do the show. Our first show is spectacular. Every show will be great. I'm unbelievably just through the roof on this.
And you got some very special people working in front of the camera on your series. But first, I think we have a call, so we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, you don't waste any time getting to calls, do you?
No, I don't. That person just dropped. So if you just try to reach us, try again, and we'll get you on as soon as possible. In terms of the gearing up, what do we expect for the first week?
Well, first off, you started mentioning our talent. Let me talk about the talent. It's Kay Adams, for any of you NFL fans. She hosts Good Morning Football on 3 hours of a live show every single morning, and she kind of is the ringleader of that, and she's incredibly smart and quick-witted and not cookie-cutter, and I think she's going to be a huge star. Lawrence K. Jackson, his background is Revolt TV first, TRL, and then he did the NBC News Chat show. He is a comer. He's incredibly likable. He's incredibly smart. He's a Syracuse graduate. He's got an interesting backstory, and I think he's going to bring a fresh new perspective to this genre. Jeremy Parsons, for people who follow People magazine, he's got brand awareness. He was the host of the OTT show, People Now, and he's going to be our New York City reporter going to when premieres happen and junkets and things like that. He'll be covering that. And in Los Angeles is the wild card, Sandra Vergara, Sofia Vergara's half-sister. She will be covering Hollywood for us, and just check out her Instagram page, and you know everything you need to know about Sandra Vergara. She's wild, she's fun, and she's not cookie-cutter. What you're going to get here is not your typical entertainment news host. We're not doing that cliché type of language that you hear on these shows on Entertainment Tonight or Extra. The only one out there who actually is a little different is Billy Bush, and I worked with him, as we know, for many years at Access, and he is a huge star, and he's got major talent, but he's not cookie cutter, and either way, everybody else is cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. I have a chance to watch Good Morning Football, Rob, on NFL Network, and she is really great. She is really, really super. You're right, she holds the show very well, and I had a chance to see the promo for Monday's program. And she and her co-host, I think they're going to really go second dimension with this program.
Yeah, I agree. What I was looking for is something really fresh, something new. You know, I wanted to do the anti-Mario Lopez, okay? I need hosts that are totally engaged, who are, you know, don't have 50 other things going on, and this is just kind of they stop by and it's a part-time job. This is nothing against Mario Lopez, mind you, but that I didn't want to retread, okay, as our hosts. What I did do, okay, is I brought Nancy Obdel back, who I worked with at Access Hollywood, and she's going to be a special contributor to the show, and because of her connections, and she has many. And on our first show, she has the Garth Brooks special. She went down to Nashville, went into the studio with Garth and Trisha Yearwood, and watched them and interviewed them both, obviously, as they did their version of Shallow, the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga song from a year ago from A Star Is Born. And it is spectacular. Every show wanted it. Only we got it, and we're making a huge deal out of it. And it is a bang-up way to start our show.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Rob Silverstein. He is the executive producer of People, the brand new entertainment program and pop culture program that will be coming your way starting Monday on nerd television stations around the country, including in Atlanta, Phoenix, St. Louis, Portland, Oregon, Nashville, Tennessee. I'll be running on other TV stations as well, including Hartford, New Haven. And I'll also be running at 7 p.m. weeknights on People TV. That is the programming service that's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And Rob joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise, the pro world about TV's current and future. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us on the special 9 edition taking place live during 9/11/2020, 19 years ago. One of the most traumatic things that ever happened in this country and this world happened, and we are remembering that on today's episode. If you have a question or comment for Rob, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have two 9 editions coming your way next week. Monday, we will introduce you to a pair of smart TV and gadget programming services you might not know about, but in the first case, your kids might. It's called Happy Kids. As one of the fastest rising services of its kind around. It's from a company called Future Today. We'll speak with the co-founder, Vikrant Mathur. And then there's a brand new service. Remember Wayward FM for all the, let's say, mature adults in the audience? If you turn on a TV station, let's say 5:30, 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., you may have seen a guy named Rico Hinneman do a show called Yoga for Health. Or years later, Lilius Folin, Lilius Yoga and You, on PBS stations around. Well, there is now a 24-hour service on smart TV sets and devices dealing with yoga and meditation. It's called Sanctuary. We'll have the creator, the chief executive officer, Robert Martin. And finally, there's a brand new series on Crackle, the smart TV programming service. It used to be owned by Sony. It's called Spides, S-P-I-D-E-S. Very unusual scripted program. Their first in quite a while. We will speak with the chief executive officer of the organization that put that program together called Paladin Media. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Rob, there's a lot of excitement in your voice. What are you most excited about making this series happen?
You know, tell those stories that you don't get other places. The inspirational stories, I mean, the pop culture and the exclusives that we're going to get are fantastic. As I said, the Garth Brooks on Monday, and there are many more. We're going to have a J-Lo exclusive. We're going to have an Oprah exclusive. We're going to have a Adam Levine exclusive. I mean, we have all this down the pike, but it's the inspiring stories that we can tell and that People Magazine tells so well and so differently than anybody else. That's really going to be what I'm really excited about. Plus, I love day-to-day television. I love coming in here every day and just saying, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to entertain people today? What kind of stories are we going to tell? I love that. I'm wired to do that. I'm not wired to do a once-a-week show. I'm wired to do a daily television show where you have to make decisions, and you're in the control room, and there's things flying all over the place, and people don't know what you're doing next, and I love that action.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one of the things you also come in with is you have an infrastructure because you have this network that's been around for several years, People TV, and incidentally, you do a weekend show that I believe will also be part of the People package that you're doing. What's it been like to integrate yourself with all of that infrastructure, with all of that talent, and bring that into putting this show together?
Well, without that, it's a, you know, we're starting slowly. We have a much smaller budget than we had at Access Hollywood. We're doing this with way fewer people. So, but we can do that because of the resources between the magazine side and the digital. Dan Wakeford, who runs the magazine, and his team, we're totally lock and step with them. So, you know, their TV department and our TV department work hand in hand. Their film department, our film department work hand in hand. Their music department, our music department work hand in hand. So it's been incredible to have this. You know, and listen, when I did Access Hollywood, I loved it. I called Access Hollywood my fifth kid. I have four children. And Access Hollywood was an incredibly respected brand. This is another level of respect from the celebrity community because they trust people. Not that they didn't trust Access, but they really trust people a lot more than anything I could have ever imagined. So when I say I'm with People, doors open that no other brand can come close to competing with. None.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain regular features that you will have in the course of doing this Monday through Friday? Let's say Monday, you can expect this feature on a certain type of person or that kind of thing.
Here's what we have. So the magazine has all their franchises, Daily Scoop, Star Trek, things we're talking about, Royal Roundup, stories that make you smile, Chatter, One Last Thing. All those segments will be incorporated into the show. Every day there'll be Star Trek. Every day there'll be a story that makes you smile. Every day there'll be one last thing, which we'll go off the air with a celebrity with a, you know, we do a round robin type, a lot of questions with them. So, yes, whatever you see in that magazine will be brought to television. We have 5 days a week plus a weekend show to do it. They have one magazine a week. So that's kind of how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the non-pop culture, the non-entertainment people, the inspiring stories, if you will, that you found so far?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we have an unbelievable story on Monday. It's Fashion Week, and it's called Runway of Dreams. It's a virtual fashion show, and Tommy Hilfiger is involved with it. And the founder of Runway of Dreams is Mindy Shire, and it's special needs competitors. That isn't the right word. Contestant, not even contestants. Special needs models up and down modeling clothes for people who have special needs, and it is inspiring, and it is wonderful to see the smiles on these faces. It is something I had never seen before. And, you know, Tommy Hilfiger has a special needs child, and so he's the one who's put this together. And it's just, there'll be a tear, there'll be a tear coming to your eye when you watch that story.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like one thing we can see is that when you go to events, let's say like the Academy Awards or the Emmys or Fashion Week or the Grammys or the BET Awards, that might be something to look at, is some of the unsung stories, if you will, the unsung heroes.
You're going to see a lot of that on the show, as well as the biggest names in entertainment. You're going to see that as well. I mean, you know, we have Regina King this week as well. Lady Gaga this week. It's Shania Twain. As I said, Garth Brooks. We're going to have a Emmy fashion look back on Friday because the Emmys are next Sunday, and there's no red carpet. There's no, you know, it's all different. All these award shows are different, so we've got to cover it differently.
As a matter of fact, speaking of the Emmys, they are next Saturday and Sunday. ABC, of course, running it Sunday night, and I think one of the FX networks running it on Saturday. And they have a virtual press room for the first time. I used to cover the Emmys in another capacity when I was a trade press writer. And I went to Los Angeles, went to Pasadena to see it. And this may be the first time they get a chance to actually watch the Emmys backstage and have a chance to talk to the person. It's really something special when you get a chance to talk with the likes of a James Earl Jones or talk with the likes of of other famous celebrities when I was there in the 90s.
I've been to 22 Emmy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, not this one, obviously, but and not last year I was. Last year I produced, I forgot, 23. Last year I produced the 90-minute – executive produced it for Fox, the 90-minute live Emmy red carpet special.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I did before I took this after Access Hollywood.
By the way, what did you think of how the Emmys went? It seems that there was a lot of the Emmy presentation last year got a lot of criticism for sort of doing a lot of inside baseball, not enough, let's showcase television, let's showcase what the medium is all about, let's showcase the talent. It didn't seem to come across that way.
Well, I don't remember that much. I do remember that they went hostless, which is, I thought, was a huge mistake. They took – the Oscars did well the year before going hostless, but that's because the Oscars had big movies that year. It's based on – so to go hostless on the Emmys, I thought was a mistake. That's number one. And I don't think you'll see that again. The problem with the Emmys is that it airs on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. It's a rotation because it's about television. But none of those networks anymore are represented in the Emmys. It's all streaming services and HBO and as you know what it is. And so it's basically a big three-hour promotion for people not to watch network television.
Yeah, either watch Netflix or HBO or FX, whether it's cable or multi-cable.
Right. I mean, I'm shocked that the networks keep airing this. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't, but, I mean, none of their shows are nominated.
That could be interesting to see now that you have what I call mega programming services, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, et cetera, now in the hunt for awards. And if they're not now, like an HBO Max or a Peacock, they will be next year, depending on the product they come out with and the way the response is, that it'll be interesting to see whether maybe the Emmys at some point will not be a broadcast network affair, but the GOAT Netflix and so forth.
You need to look at it a certain way, because I think the networks, the ABC, are really just going to be reality and game shows at the end of the day. They can't compete in the sitcom drama world. They really can't, because of FCC regulations and the commercial content and just that. I truly believe it's going to be sports, special programming, game shows, and reality shows. That's where this is all heading.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be getting into, at least in the early weeks, how the pandemic is impacting shows getting produced or the way that pop culture stars are dealing with the coronavirus?
More pop culture, not the inside baseball of how it's affecting production. I don't think people want to hear are that interested in that. I do think we're doing an interview with Rita Wilson, her first since March 11th. Her and Tom announced that they had COVID. They were in Australia. The whole thing. This is her first interview since recovering from COVID. So, those types of stories are incredibly interesting, and we'll be doing those stories where people have had experience, and she had a rough time. Her and Tom had a rough time. So that'll be good, and we're airing that this week as well.
Yeah. What are some of the other events that you hope to have? You mentioned New York Fashion Week, the Emmy Awards, of course.
Well, there are no events. Simon, there are no events.
But they're virtual.
That's the problem. So it's just, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, they've all been moving around different dates now. Hopefully by that time, they'll be back to red carpets, there'll be premieres and things like that, but we don't know. So it's a whole different world out there than it used to be. So, we're just following that like everybody else, but there are so many stories, there's so many big interviews, there's so many things to do that we're not missing it. But it'd be nice when hopefully things open up and life can get some semblance of normal.
Yeah. I mentioned the mega programming services that have come on the air in the past year. Do you expect to devote a lot of some coverage to some of the individual shows, some of the individual personalities, not just the stars, but also some of the talent that's making the show happen? Our show, in fact, got started 13 years ago because at the time that the entertainment news magazines, when they talked about television, they talked about the star. They never had the executive producer, the show creator, the show producer, director aboard. And that was sort of the niche that we got involved with, and we're happy to get it. It turned out that there are a lot of great stories about people who are breaking into television, whether it's men, women, people of color, and obviously, especially the new talent that's been coming in this era of plentiful TV and mega TV now.
Simon, when you're People Magazine, you stick with the stars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on this podcast, which is great. I enjoy it, but I want the hosts of our show and the content that we put out there based on stars and obviously inspirational stories to be the telling. Would we do stuff with an executive producer on some show? Possibly, but that wouldn't be that. That's not the fare I would look to do every day. Obviously, directors are a different deal. If it's a Steven Spielberg or somebody of that ilk, because they transcend just being a director, and there are people like that. But if it's some unknown executive producer of some great show, unless it's so unbelievable story, then we're going to stick with the stars.
I'll give out someone like Shonda Rhimes or Ryan Murphy, or you mentioned Regina King.
Yeah, Shonda Rhimes is a good example. Of course, we do stuff with Shonda, Ryan Murphy, of course, because they become household names. And that's good. The more, so they're celebrities in their own right, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. Final question, Rob. And by the way, it is really great to have you back in the world of television on a nightly basis, doing what you're doing. How have the stars reacted to a show like this coming on? Because he's had efforts to translate People Magazine to television, and now here you are.
Well, Drew Barrymore. Okay. You can't imagine. Here's what Drew Barrymore told us. I'm sitting here watching you going, oh, I love watching you, and I bet I'm not the only one. This is going to work. You're rad. This is rad. That's all about when Kay Adams interviewed her, that was all about People Magazine having our show. The reaction has been through the roof. I mentioned the names we're getting. The other shows are not getting these people. We people are getting these people. And we're not even a national show yet. We are national on people.com, which is great. But wait till you see what happens in the next 6 months, what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. I'll tell you, Rob, no doubt. The way this is shaping up, I think this is going to be a winner all the way, right from day one. And day one, People, the TV show, will be starting on Monday night. Monday, depending on where you are, what stations you're on. We'll be on the Meredith TV stations across the country in places like Atlanta, Phoenix, St. Louis, Portland, Oregon, and Nashville. It will be on other stations as well that Meredith will syndicate the show to, including Hartford, New Haven, Connecticut, I understand. It will also be running on People TV's website, and it will also be on People TV, which is the smart TV programming service available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, peopletv.com. That's peopletv.com, where, by the way, People TV, the stream service, will be on weeknights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Do check it out. This is going to be a very, very special show, and one that I think will, sooner rather than later, be a very important part of the entertainment pop culture catching firmament. Rob, it's been a pleasure to have you on this program. Congratulations to you and everybody involved in putting this together. Good luck from the get-go on Monday, and look forward to finally get stuff from here on in. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed all of it.
You got it, Rob. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Rob Silverstein, executive producer of People, the TV show, joining us live from New York. Before we leave you, a couple of quick acknowledgments. I had the wonderful opportunity to be part of TVOT, the TV of Tomorrow Show 2020, the first ever virtual edition of an interactive TV conference that usually takes place twice a year, every summer in Silicon Valley, December in New York. Tracy Swedlow puts it together. She's been on our show numerous times. So thank you, Tracy and Richard Washburn and all the people involved for making it happen the last 2.5 days. It went great virtually. I had the opportunity to do a moderated pair of community rooms there. So it's really been fantastic. Also, congratulations to the Interactive Advertising Bureau for their 3-day podcast summit that just wrapped up sometime back this afternoon. Great, great job. A lot of things happening in the podcast world, and hopefully next year, Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and TuneIn Radio can be part of it. And finally, earlier this week, one of the great leaders in the cable industry in a very unique way passed away. His name was Paul Kagan. Paul was a financial person who recognized sooner than most the value of cable television and its possibilities to impact the TV industry at large. He showcased as a financial analyst, and through a series of wonderful conferences he gave in New York at the Park Lane Hotel in Manhattan and all across the country, always excellent to watch. And as somebody who was getting into the TV world as a budding trade press reporter, they were always invaluable. Paul Kagan was one of the great true believers in the cable industry. He passed away on Wednesday in his 80s. He leaves behind a tremendous legacy of financial institutions who are now more involved in cable than ever before, and very clearly his legacy is that cable TV is part of, and always will be in some way, part of the mainstream of television. He will be phenomenally missed. Rest in peace, Paul, and condolences with your family. Thanks to all our guests for being here. Thanks for all of you for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday with a 90-minute edition, first of two, next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of the Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Soderberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Marvy Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook, too, if you're an Amazon Prime member, and much, much more, audibletrial.com/televised. But to Marvy Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great weekend ahead. Please take time today to remember the people who perished 19 years ago this very morning in 9/11 in New York, in Washington, D.C., and on that strip of land in Pennsylvania. And please remember their families, both perished and still with us. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and Monday, please make it safe and make it great. We will lift this pandemic that we're in now and forever. And to quote a wonderful TV and film producer, there are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them. Until the next time, stay well, stay safe, and stay tuned.